now we want to solve the discrete version, because also the discrete version can be solved exactly. So if we take the discrete version that we have obtained, we see that in the Verlet formalism, we have that x at times t plus delta t can be obtained in terms of x of t with a coefficient 1 minus lambda k delta t, and the noise, which is now alpha square root of delta t rho t, where rho t, remember, is a Gaussian variable of zero mean and unit variance. We solve this equation iteratively. So we start from x equals 0, which is enough to replace x of t with x0 in the previous equation. And then we try to solve x at times 2 delta t. So x at times 2 delta t is 1 minus lambda k delta t x at times delta t plus alpha square root of delta t rho of delta t. Then we replace here the expression for x delta t that we have obtained above, and we see that x0 is now multiplied by 1 minus lambda k delta t square, and then we have alpha square root of delta t, and then inside the square bracket we have 1 minus lambda k delta t times rho 0 plus rho of delta t. Then we go on and we compute x at times 3 delta t, again using the equation. So we express x at times 3 delta t in terms of x at times 2 delta t, and then we use the expression which is written above. And using the expression which is written above, we see that x at times 3 delta t is now 1 minus lambda k delta t to the power 3, x0, plus alpha square root of delta t, and then we have a series of noise terms. The noise term proportional to rho 0 is multiplied by 1 minus lambda k delta t square. The term which is proportional to rho of time delta t is multiplied by 1 minus lambda k delta t, and then we have rho at times twice delta t. So from here, it's easy to understand what is the generalization at times n delta t. X0 is multiplied by the factor 1 minus lambda k delta t to the power n, the number of steps, as you can see above. In the first step, delta t, there is a power 1, 2 delta t, there is a power 2, 3 delta t, there is a power 3, n delta t, there is a power n. Then there is alpha square root of delta t, and then there is a sum, all noise terms, in which the noise term, which is proportional to rho 0, is multiplied by the usual factor to the power n minus 1. The noise term, which is proportional to delta rho delta t, n minus 2, and so on. So this is written here in reverse way, so the index j tells you how close you are to the data. So for j equals 0, you obtain no prefactor and rho at time n minus 1. For j equals 1, you go back one step, and of course the prefactor increases by one power, and so on. So this is the generalization that you can easily verify by plugging numbers. So try n equals 3, for instance, and see that you reobtain the equation written above. So this is the result for x at times n delta t. And now suppose that we want to obtain the average value of x and the distribution. So first thing, if we take the average value of x, you see that all noise terms cancel because rho is a variable that has zero average. And so we only obtain the first term. So x at times n delta t is this prefactor 1 minus lambda k delta t to the power n multiplied by the starting condition. This formula looks very similar to the expression that we have obtained in the continuous case, in which the average value of x was proportional to the starting condition. To make contact with the continuum case, Let's replace n delta t with t. So we eliminate delta t and we write delta t equal t over n, and we get the expression which is written here. Now the continuum limit is obtained, so the limit is obtained when we fix the time, we decrease the time step, but at the same time we increase the number of steps so that the product n times delta t is fixed. So if we increase n at fixed time, we see that we get the usual expression for the exponential. This is one of the ways in which the exponential is defined, and then we reobtain exactly the result that we have discussed in the continuous case. So the continuum limit is obtained by taking the limit n going to infinity at fixed time, which means that delta t at the same time should go to zero. This is the way in which the continuum limit is obtained. One important observation is, of course, trivial, but we should make it, that also in this case x is a Gaussian variable because it's a sum of Gaussian variables. All the rows are Gaussian variables. It does not have zero mean, but it's still a Gaussian variable. So we are interested in computing the variance, and the variance is computed here. The only term which is relevant, exactly as in the case, in the continuous case, is the term that contains the noise. So we have alpha squared times delta t, the two sums, and then we have the average value of the noise term. Rho is an uncorrelated Gaussian variables with unit variance. So whenever J1 and J2 are different, so we are considering rho at different times, their correlation is zero, while at the same time, the variance is one, so we get one. So the result of this correlation is a delta of J1, J2. So we use the delta function to eliminate one sum, and so we get for the variance that it is equal to alpha squared delta t, the sum of this factor, 1 minus lambda k delta t to the power 2j. But this is nothing but a geometric sum, so this is something that we know how to sum, and we get the expression which is written below. Alpha squared delta t, 1 minus the usual factor to the power 2n, divide the 1 minus same factor to the square. Then we can expand the denominator, and we see the denominator gives rise to a factor delta t, which cancels with the delta t, which is in front of the ratio. So that we get a variance which is independent of delta t in the limit in which delta t goes to zero, which is something, of course, that you expect. In the final result, there are two important points that we should note. First, the denominator in the ratio becomes unstable when it becomes negative. If the denominator becomes negative, the variance becomes negative, so this is not possible. This means that our approximation, again, has an instability limit. Delta t should not exceed this limit, 2 divided lambda k. It should always be smaller than that to have a reasonable stochastic process. Otherwise, we get something which is unstable. This is the same that happens with the Verlet dynamics. Delta t should be reasonably small, and in this case, delta t should be smaller than the typical time scale of the process that we already said is 1 over lambda k. So there is a condition that delta t is much smaller than the typical time scale, which is intrinsic in the dynamics. The second observation is that, again, we want to reobtain the continuum limit, taking the limit in which n goes to infinity and delta t goes to zero at fixed product n times delta t. If delta t goes to zero, the denominator converges to 1. 1 minus lambda k delta t to the power 2n converges to the exponential of minus 2 lambda kt. And so in this way, we reproduce the continuum result. So we see that our approximation, our discrete dynamics, is indeed correct in the sense that it reproduces, in the limit in which delta t goes to zero, the correct behavior of the system, which is obtained in the continuum case.